from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Joshua Johnson, sitting in for Michael Krasny. State lawmakers in Sacramento are wrapping up their legislative session with plenty of bills on issues that affect all of us. There's plenty of work to do, from how to fix our crumbling roads to how to provide health care for California's neediest. We'll get a roundup in our first half hour. Then we shift gears to the renewed controversy over Amazon and what some say are its incredibly tough working conditions. How big a deal is workplace culture, really? And does it factor into your decisions of where to shop? That's in our second half. A legislative update and workplace culture through the lens of Amazon. It's all ahead, next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. Good morning. I'm Joshua Johnson of KQED News, sitting in for Michael Krasny. California's lawmakers have fewer than 20 business days left before this legislative session wraps up. Their agenda includes plenty of bills on some of the state's biggest issues, some of which you might see on next year's ballot. Let's discuss it with KQED's California Politics and Government editor John Myers. He joins us from our studios in Sacramento. John, good morning.
Good morning, Joshua.
I guess we should begin with the news of this morning, a very contentious bill regarding a form of physician-assisted suicide, a right-to-die bill, as it were. This is a kind of a repeat of a bill that had stalled in the Assembly, but it seems like it just came back within the last few minutes. What's up?
Yeah, and it's interesting. So much of what you see at the state capitol in Sacramento is driven by larger discussions, either things that we're talking about in the news or national discussions. And there has been a lot of discussion about the rights of terminally ill patients over the last several months, and this notion of aid and dying. And so there was a bill earlier in the legislature in 2015 that failed to get enough support. And so now this is a do-over. It would allow doctors to prescribe a lethal medication to someone who's terminally ill who requests it. The patient would have to be mentally competent and be able to take the drugs themselves. The interesting thing here is the procedural part, because people who watched the world of civics would know you can't introduce new legislation this late before the legislature is about to go home for the year. This is being introduced in one of the special legislative sessions the governor called that run concurrently with the regular work of the legislature. And what that means is that the supporters of this aid in dying bill don't have to go to the traditional health committee, where there were lawmakers from Southern California who were not going to vote for it. They can go around the traditional process, get it to a full vote, probably of both houses of the legislature, in which case it could be on the governor's desk by the end of the summer, and would put California in the middle of this national debate about the rights of the terminally ill to make their own choices about the end of their life.
I just want to clarify, because when people hear physician-assisted suicide, they might get an image of someone like Jack Kevorkian. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you going to your doctor and saying, I want to end my life, prescribe something for me. The doctor provides it, but you have to take it yourself. This is not a doctor administering a lethal medication, right?
This is right. This is a patient who has to take the drugs themselves, as I understand the new bill. Again, we're just getting word of this morning. We'll have to see the language. We're told it's the same as the one that failed to pass earlier this year. But again, a lot of things happen when you get the legislature in this very small amount of time before members go home for the year. And there are a lot of people who think this is the time to have this discussion in California.
But this would even not be the end of the debate. I mean, if this bill did pass and the governor did sign it, I'm sure that opponents of this have made it very clear they're going to fight this as far as they can.
Yes, they have. And I think, you know, the real question here is, what is the recourse of someone who doesn't like something that is signed into law in California? You've got really two choices. You can come back next year and ask the legislature and the governor to take another look at what they did. Or you always have the right in California, if you have enough people and you have enough money, to file a referendum and have something turned over by the voters at the next election, which would be the fall of 2016. Those are always the options when people don't like what they see out of Sacramento. And I think, to your point, Joshua, there are going to be people on a whole bunch of bills over the next few weeks who are not going to like what they see.
There are a number of other items in this special session that are worth mentioning, and we'll get to those a little bit later in the segment. But let's move around through some of the other issues that are coming up in these last few days of the session, starting with the environment. There are a number of bills that seek to kind of redouble California's commitment to reduce greenhouse gases that are building on the state's landmark climate law known as Assembly Bill 32 or AB 32. I do want you to explain these new bills, but for people who may be new to the state or these politics, explain what AB 32 does.
Yeah, AB 32 was signed by Arnold Schwarzenegger 9 years ago, and it really put California on the national map and, frankly, the international map in the effort to combat climate change. AB 32 sets an ambitious goal of shrinking carbon emissions, which are the ones that that have been shown in all the science to cause all these changes in the climate, to shrink California's carbon emissions back to the 1990 levels that they were at. By the year 2020, of which we're coming up on just in 5 years. The state has made a lot of progress toward that. There's a lot of discussion whether we will already hit those benchmarks set by that 2006 law. That is the law in California. And you've got a number of Democrats at the Capitol who want to go beyond that 2006 law. I really think that these climate change discussions, Joshua, are the number one battle over the next few weeks. So if I can, I'll tell you what they want to do. One set of bills from Democrats in the legislature would go beyond that 2006 law. The 2006 law, we said, shrinks emissions to 1990 levels. One of them would say we would shrink them 80% below those 1990 levels by the middle of the century. And another one says we would continue to use cap and trade, which is the system of trading essentially pollution credits among companies and therefore taking the money and pocketing it back to state government. Those are two of the package of bills that would deal with climate change. But I think the biggest one really is being carried by the leader of the state Senate, Kevin De Leon, a Democrat of Los Angeles. It is Senate Bill 350. It would pull off what I called the on one of our stories online, the climate change hat trick: more renewable energy, more energy efficient buildings, and a 50% reduction in the use of petroleum by cars and trucks by 2030. So that is cutting the gas use of vehicles in California in half by 2030. The oil industry, no surprise, is very opposed to that provision of SB 350.
For sure. I would imagine so. And I'm sure a lot of Californians would have a fair amount of adjusting to do in terms of driving less and using less gasoline. But how much support does that package of bills, any of them, seem to have right now in the legislature?
Well, it's got a lot of support among Democrats. Democrats are in the majority. But I think there are really kind of, I would say, a few things here to watch. The first one is that there are some Democrats who are identified as more business friendly in both houses, mainly in the state assembly, who are unhappy and uncertain about this 50% reduction in the use of petroleum by cars and trucks. I think the message is it's a great goal, but how do you get there? The oil industry is targeting them with a lot of lobbying efforts to see if they can modify this bill or kill this bill. The second question is, what does the governor believe here? Governor Jerry Brown laid out these goals in his inauguration in January, but the governor made them goals, and whether or not that is the same as a mandate to get there by the year 2030 remains to be seen. And I think third and finally is back to this issue we talked about, politics in 2016. Could we see this issue on the ballot in 2016? Could the oil companies file a referendum and try to overturn the law if the governor signs it? And on the other side, you've got wealthy environmentalists led by San Francisco billionaire Tom Steyer, who could mount his own campaign to defend this cut in petroleum by cars and trucks, as well as the other climate change laws. I think climate change is the hottest issue right now at the Capitol. Democrats have invested a lot of their political energy and a lot of their policy focus on this issue. They believe California is leading the way. The governor certainly talks about it everywhere. People may remember he was at the Vatican this summer. He's going to be at the United Nations conference in Paris in the fall. People believe California is a leader. The polls say Californians like it, but how far are they willing to go to roll back these carbon emissions that come out of California?
Let's talk more about health care, which is really the focus of this special legislative session that you had mentioned. There's a bill pending in the legislature focused on Medi-Cal, the state's safety net health care system for low-income residents, and how Medi-Cal is funded. What's the big issue there?
Well, Medi-Cal has become this huge part of the healthcare system in California. You know, I've said this on programs in the past, and it is still just a number to get your head around. Fully one out of three Californians are now on Medi-Cal, which is the healthcare program for those of low income, the working poor. One out of three Californians is now on Medi-Cal. Now, part of that is because we expanded Medi-Cal under the Affordable Care Act, under Obamacare. And so funding for Medi-Cal is going to be a very big issue for the next several years and how we pay for all of those healthcare services. A portion of how we pay for that comes from a tax on managed care plans, on health insurance plans that other people have. The federal government has said the existing tax is not workable. We need to redo it. And that is what legislators have to resolve over the next four weeks. How do you resolve the problems with the Medi-Cal tax, the tax on managed care plans? And there is a proposal from State Assemblyman Mark Levine, Democrat of Marin County, to say, let's have a flat tax on managed care plans, which would be almost about $8 a month per person. It's somewhat unclear whether you and I, as people who have health insurance plans, would pay that ourselves or whether the health insurance plans would absorb it. You can imagine there's a political fight there. But that would bring in about $1 billion to help fund Medi-Cal. That's not enough to fund Medi-Cal by itself. But again, these issues of how we pay for that health care for the poorest Californians, this is one big part of that over the next few weeks.
And as I understand it, there are some rather unusual alliances coming together to try to get this bill approved, right? There's some factions that do not usually work together who are joining forces to say, yeah, this is something we have to do.
Well, whether they worked, I don't know whether it's so much that they haven't worked together in the past, but the way this is being crafted is part of the way of how you get things done in politics, which is you put enough things in there that you hope to cobble together support across lines. So this tax on health insurance plans would not only pay for Medi-Cal, it would pay for services for the in-home services for the disabled, which is a program that has been cut in years past, and it would restore funding that had been cut in the last few years to services for the developmentally disabled. Think of people with autism or other disorders. Those services have been cut. This tax would help fund that in part. That brings together a very big coalition, Democrats and Republicans together. But Joshua, the real problem is this is a tax, the T word, and Republicans in the legislature would have to vote, at least some of them would have to vote for the tax. They have been resistant for years to voting for any taxes. And I think this is going to be an interesting fight. Is a health care tax worth the programs it gets? The early read is Republicans are saying, no, we got to find the money somewhere else.
We're discussing the end of California's 2015 legislative session with KQED's politics and government editor John Myers. We welcome your questions as well. Feel free to call us, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. We're only going to discuss this until the bottom of the hour, so feel free to email us as well. The address is forum@kqed.org. You can also find us on Facebook or tweet us. We are at KQED Forum. Sticking with the theme of health, John, there are also a number of bills targeting tobacco in various ways. What's on the agenda?
Interesting here. I think this is going to be one of those great moments to see the power, the political power of big tobacco in California. It has been on the decrease in the last few years, but the tobacco companies are back, and I think they're going to fight a lot of these. So there's one bill that would allow counties in California to impose their own tax on tobacco and use the money for local services. There are bills to raise the smoking age in California to 21, from 18 to 21. That's going to be a big fight and has been so far. And then there are a couple of ones that look at things like regulating e-cigarettes, these electronic vapor cigarettes that have become much more popular. Again, the tobacco companies want no more regulation of these things and certainly don't want the smoking age higher. And advocates of health care programs and other things say California needs to change. So I think you're going to see one of those big tobacco versus health groups fights over the next few weeks.
Transportation is also a big issue this time around, as usual. Right. We surely need billions of dollars to fix up the state's infrastructure and build out for the future. What are some of the items on the table for lawmakers to deal with this?
Well, let's talk about how much money we need. There is at least one estimate out there, a coalition of local governments and businesses and transportation groups. They've put together the need, and I think a lot of Californians, Bay Area folks, every people, you drive on the roads, you feel the potholes, you see the, you know, you see the traffic jams and lanes that haven't expanded. The estimate is that we need at least $6 billion a year more than we have right now to fund transportation.
At that least $6 billion more?
Yes.
Wow.
And it could be more than that. We have not paid for transportation upkeep, roads, bridges, highways, local roads and state roads. We have not paid for that very well over the last few years. So the debate is, how do we resolve that? The governor, again, has earmarked this into a special legislative session. There is the idea of increasing the gas tax, which, again, gets to the T word, the tax word, and that becomes another issue. There is also a discussion that we should move towards something called road charging, which happens in states like Oregon, which simply means that drivers pay a fee based on how many miles they drive, because the more fuel-efficient cars that we have on the highway, the less gas they use, the less gas tax that is collected. So there's a lot of discussion about how we fund this. I wouldn't be surprised to see something like this on the ballot as well. Traditionally, we have funded a lot of transportation issues through bond measures that voters approve. But again, $6 billion, that is not chump change, even in a state like California. And finding that kind of money and the political consensus on that, I think, is going to be really tough.
Let me get to a comment from a listener. One of our listeners wrote us online. Is no one in Sacramento talking about the pension problem, which is going to drain the state budget if unaddressed? John, what's the latest with pension reform?
Well, I think reform is one of those words that's in the eye of the beholder about exactly what is reform and what is...
Actually, you know what, John? I'm sorry. I should not have used that word. Not just pension
reform. No, it's fine.
Because I know it's a loaded word for a lot of people. I guess the bigger question is not just reform, but also paying for the pensions that we've already agreed to that we say we have to pay. So let me just amend that a little bit.
Absolutely. There is not there's not a pending big change to the pension system at the Capitol right now. There have been changes over the last few years. I would point out to the listener, the governor led an effort to change the formula in pensions and therefore make it more affordable for governments, the formula for new employees. But there is a big fight still out there about whether you can go into the pension promises of existing government workers. And we may see that on the ballot in 2016. That's a very difficult one to get through the legislature. You've got a lot of Democrats who are very much aligned with public employee unions. You have a big debate about exactly how big the problem is. I think the voters will get that one before the legislature gets that one.
With regards to criminal justice, there are a few bills that are highly controversial among law enforcement groups. One of them involves racial profiling. What would that do?
Yeah, the bill in question, Joshua, is Assembly Bill 953 by a Democrat out of San Diego. It would mandate a system for law enforcement to start collecting information on every vehicle stop they make and how they made it, and looking at gender, religion, looking at all these profiling issues. It would expand the state's definition of racial profiling. Law enforcement groups are concerned, they say, about the cost and about collecting all of the data. Just yesterday, the governor's budget team in a committee hearing said they oppose the bill because of the cost that it would do to implement all of this new data collection on racial profiling issues when it comes to law enforcement. That doesn't necessarily mean the governor is against it, but it's not a great sign for supporters. I think that one, given the national discussion we've been having this year, is really the biggest one to watch, although there are a few other things out there like warrantless searches of phones and things like that. But that racial profiling bill, Joshua, I think is the biggest one in Crime and Punishment.
I would imagine so, although I have to admit I can understand at least the counterargument in terms of collecting data on religion and sexual orientation. I mean, if a law enforcement officer asked me whether I was gay or straight as part of a traffic stop or had to write down what my religious affiliation was based on the encounter, I could see that being highly contentious.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, it's like so many things we see in the Capitol, the devil's in the details of exactly how it's worked out. You've got a lot of civil rights groups a lot of civil rights groups who support the bill and the police organizations who are against it. And again, I think the next few days will be very interesting. And again, national news often drives what we see in California. And that is certainly one of those issues that's happened.
A few more things I wanted to ask you about before we let you go. You're also keeping an eye on a few bills that affect voting and political influence. I know that you and our politics and government reporter Marisa Lagos have been looking more into the forces that shape California government in your series Political Muscle. What are some of these bills that relate to political influence and voting?
Well, certainly on the voting part first, if I could. I mean, a lot of people who keep up with the news will remember that we had the worst voter turnout in recorded history in 2014 in California in both elections, abysmal turnout of registered voters. So there's been a lot of discussion about how we address that or how lawmakers at the state capitol address that. Probably the most prominent bill is Assembly Bill 1461. It's being carried by a Democrat, again, from Southern California. It would require the DMV and state elections officials to automatically register to vote people who come in and get an application for a license. So it pretty much would say, you get a license, we're going to register you to vote almost automatically. Now, it would take a while to roll in. People should understand that there already is something called a motor voter law that makes it easier to register to vote when you register at the DMV. And it would have filters for people who are not legally eligible to vote, who are not legal citizens. But that one is much talked about, and I think the goal is to try to get more people registered, and therefore maybe they will turn out to vote. And then on the influence issue, right, we've been looking at a lot of that because influence is not necessarily bad, but it certainly is not always transparent in how people try to move the levers of government. And I think the bill that we're most interested in there is one that we've been looking at how few lobbying rules there are for companies that want to get a government contract. There's almost no disclosure if you hire a lobbyist and ask them to talk to Caltrans or another state agency about a big contract. So this bill would require disclosure of that, again, pending in the legislature. And it's one of those issues about what the public should know about who's trying to influence the government and taxpayer dollars.
There are also a few bills that deal with wages and benefits, including some that deal with paid family leave. What's being proposed?
Yeah, this is, I think, a really fascinating one. Again, this is going to be under that umbrella that we've talked about so much in the news of the wage gap and income inequality. So we've got bills that would expand paid family leave in California from where it is currently, a bill that would expand job protections for Californians that take paid family leave so they can come back to their job. A bill that would strengthen the protections for equal pay based on gender, because that has been a big issue we've talked about. And then another effort to raise the minimum wage in California. We've already had a minimum wage increase over the last couple of years, but supporters of this bill say it's not enough. We need a $13 an hour statewide minimum wage by 2017. That's in their bill. And it would allow the minimum wage to increase in the future based on the rate of inflation. You know, we've seen, Joshua, in San Francisco, you've got a higher minimum wage. In Los Angeles, you've got a higher minimum wage. These are local minimum wages. This would be a new boost statewide. And again, all being couched under this discussion of the gap between rich and poor in California. Do we need to do more? And if so, are these the right kinds of things?
It's interesting to see what measures are getting our listeners' attention. One listener, Matthew, tweeted about supporting the mileage tax, whether the GOP could support that. Another listener wrote about SB 563, about workers' comp. So clearly there are plenty of issues that are on our listeners' minds. Those will all be on the agenda of KQED's California Politics and Government editor, John Myers. John, thanks for talking to us.
We will try. Thanks, Joshua.
Time for a break. When we come back, we'll shift gears to Amazon and the ongoing controversy over its corporate culture. How much does workplace culture really matter to tech workers, even if it is harsh? And how much does it matter to consumers like you and me? That's just ahead. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. This is Forum from KQED Public Radio.